Back here on the Blitz. Just spent a while trying to figure out when LSU Tennessee would be. Someone did send me an article about how game times are selected for college football.
Heck yes. What a guy. Or girl, if that's...
Yeah, it's from the Columbian, ColumbiaMissourian.com. What on earth? The specifically, Columbia Missourian.
Oh, yeah, that's a tongue twister. Because I'd say the Columbian Missourian. Is it just Columbia?
Can we just call it the Columbian or the Missourian?
That's exactly what I was wanting to... the Missouri would make more sense.
Maybe even just like the Como Times or something.
What if they already have one of each? There is a Columbian and then there is a Missourian, and they were just stuck with choosing both.
Well, game times for week 1 through 3 usually determined before the season. the weekly selection done by networks does not begin until week 2 when they determine the channels and kick times for the week 4 games.
Oh, okay.
Selections are made early Monday morning so teams and then the public can be notified. The exact order of picks varies by league, but for the SEC, CBS picks first, then ESPN, followed by SEC Network. So, again, CBS gets to pick that 3:30 kickoff. They get first dibs. And then the rest of the games fall to the ESPN family of networks. Typically, there are 1 or 2 morning and then... 2 night games on ESPN-branded channels, and then the SEC Network airs games at noon, 4:30, and 7:30.
Yeah, I forget those night games are on ABC.
Which, yeah.
I forget that.
Overflow
ESPN.
Games land on SEC Network. Plus, obviously, non-conference road games are not covered by the SEC's television contract, but could still end up on ESPN. So, obviously, best teams with the most attractive viewership opportunities in the biggest television spots. There's no limit on how like many night games a team could play. And then, twice per season, networks have the option to make their selection 6 days in advance instead of 12 days, but it costs more for them, and there are limitations on when they could use those special picks. Like homecoming games, for example, must have their kickoff time set in the normal time frame. And networks usually work with schools to arrange homecoming kick times as well. Other themed weekends are not exempt from the 6-day selections. And then there are also a select group of games with kick times and channels preset by ESPN ahead of the season, like certain rivalry week matchups and in-state games.
That makes sense. That's what I was saying earlier. They just have those.
So basically,
set
the answer is we don't really know. It kind of depends on what ESPN wants to do.
We'll see how good LSU is.
Obviously, basically. You know, you could end up. CBS 3:30, but I doubt it because, again, Bama, Texas A&M.
There's just no way they pass on that. There's no
way. So I think
way.
It comes down to you and LSU or Georgia versus Auburn for that ESPN night game. And then from there, ESPN could also decide to run a second SEC night game on, like, ESPN2, depending on what else is going on that week. Or you could end up, other places on ESPN.
Georgia might get that night game just because they came on off a national championship.
But yeah, Georgia will also get plenty of opportunities.
True. True. I hope you get a night game so you don't have to miss it.
Me too. Because I think I might book that flight. Also, other SEC news. Well, unfortunately, we already have a rain delay in the SEC tournament in Hoover. As the start of Georgia and Alabama, which was set for 9:30 a.m. local time, 10:30 Eastern time, has now been delayed to 9:45. So 10:45 here.
Oh. Wow. I saw this morning and did not even look at the time. I didn't even realize this game was about to start. I was going to watch it when I got home. I was like, oh, it's going to come on at 2.
again, not an ideal weather week in Hoover. Ah, look at that. I already have Hoover saved as one of my weather locations. That's pretty cool.
I got to play there in high school. It's a great field. I did a tournament there.
Today, there is a 60% chance of rain through 10 a.m. From 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., there is no rain percentage designation. 4 p.m., 70%. 5 p.m., 60%. 6 p.m., 40%. 7 p.m., 30%. And then when you get to 8, back up to 40. And then 50 at 9, all the way through 11. Tomorrow, 70% chance of rain. Thursday, 90% chance of rain.
We play.
These are all with storms, too. We play tomorrow at 5:30.
Okay.
So I think that there is a chance that this SEC tournament could get sent into disarray with the rain.
And just be pushed and pushed until... You think they push some games back?
You can't.
Oh, really?
I mean, like, you just can't push games past Sunday.
So what happens?
There's the selection show or...
Well, that's what I meant. Like, they push it more towards the weekend. Because, I mean, it's supposed to be sunny there the whole weekend.
Yeah, but, I mean, it already ends Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even... I'm sorry.
It ends Sunday, and then, you know, the tournament's picked and announced that night, and then you start the regionals on that Friday. So I don't know what they would do if they're not, you know, if things start getting pushed back.
Yeah, like, what happens if the rain just comes down? They have to wait.
Like,
if they
can't, like, say they have a day where they can't get games in, you know, maybe they would just go doubleheader Saturday for a championship.
I don't want this to end up hurting us, you know? Like, making us just kind of put us in a weird situation, like you said, that doubleheader on Saturday or
like
something.
Maybe, or I mean, like, maybe, like, they, you know, because Saturday's semifinals, Sunday championship, like, maybe they would go Saturday or Sunday double, like, play both semifinals and a championship that night, except that probably couldn't work because you have to get the selection in. Maybe
you just play games into, like,
maybe
3
you just drop a double elimination, potentially, if the weather did it that much. I really don't know what the protocol is. I'm sure there is a protocol, but I'm not familiar with it. I'm sure there's been a situation in the past where there's been rain that's really messed up this tournament just because it happens in the South and, you know, early summer, basically. So,
yeah.
I don't know what the protocols are, but I'm sure that somebody out there knows that's kept up with it. What they've done in the past. Again, yeah, not exactly sure, but the weather's something to watch out for. See if it could maybe affect Tennessee in a positive way today. You know, maybe you get to the point where, you know, this game gets delayed, and then all of a sudden Ole Miss and Vandy aren't playing until late. And then all of a sudden you're playing a less rested Ole Miss team or a less rested Vandy team. Ole Miss has, you know, officially come out and said that they are starting Dylan DeLucia today.
Oh, yeah.
He's been their best arm.
Yeah.
He has been the guy that has carried them, basically, in this second half resurgence.
Back,
yeah. I mean, he said he wants to be the guy. He wants to be the guy with the ball in his hand to, you know, officially pitch Ole Miss off the bubble. So what I think happens is Ole Miss wins today. I think they win today with DeLucia on the mound, and then I think that sets up a position tomorrow where maybe they're just punting. You know, maybe they are just saying, hey, here's our fourth best arm. We're going to try to pick up, you know, a couple more wins in the loser side of the bracket.
We have to beat them twice, right?
We would have to
beat them once.
It's just today's single elimination, tomorrow becomes double elimination. So
nobody gets
eliminated tomorrow.
Okay. That's what I mean. So if Ole Miss wins tonight and then we play them tomorrow.
Yeah.
We would have to beat them twice?
No.
Or just once?
You just beat them once, and then you move on.
Okay.
And they move on elsewhere.
Okay.
So you move on just, and
my brain's
not
clicking.
You play
right
a winner
now.
Of a different. So, like, you would just play the winner of a different game?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And they would play
the
loser of
okay.
a different game.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, there's a chance that they could, again, DeLucia tonight, you know, punt with maybe your fourth best arm tomorrow. If you beat Tennessee, cool. If you don't, whatever, you go in the loser's bracket, and then you have your second and third best arm to try to pick up two more wins. Right. And from there, you know, pretty much solidify your spot in the NCAA tournament, even though it probably is solidified anyway. So I could see Ole Miss doing that. But even if they, you know, even if they throw their second best arm tomorrow, that's not a great option. So I think Tennessee can handle that. But I think they'll win with DeLucia, and then you'll see a mediocre pitcher tomorrow and be able to beat Ole Miss. Cool. That's what I imagine happens.
I forgot about the loser's bracket. It's Tuesday. Tuesdays are my Mondays.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the weather. Again, that game just delayed 15 minutes, which I guess maybe there was like lightning or something 15 minutes ago, so it delays 30 minutes, but it was also 15 minutes before start time, so that's why it's only 15 minutes delayed. I don't know. But yeah, tournament already off to a 15-minute delay, so hopefully we don't get any. Actually, you know what? Let's get crazy. Hopefully we do get some extra innings and all kinds of wackiness where there's SEC baseball tonight at midnight.
Yeah, goes into 3 a.m.
But go ahead and catch another break here. On the other side, we'll talk other SEC news. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Some interesting reporting this morning from Ross Dellinger. As you know, he covers college football for Sports Illustrated, has for a while, and he's been keeping up with what's going on at SEC meetings that are currently taking place. And right now, the biggest, you know, I guess, talking point of the meetings is figuring out what the schedule is going to look like, you know, when you introduce a couple new teams in Texas and Oklahoma. So he's there, you know, on the scene right now talking to everybody. And, or excuse me, not meetings going on, a week before meetings go on. Initially, there were 30 different formats for a future scheduling model of the 16-team Southeastern Conference. And now here a week before the annual meetings in Destin. I have my weeks off by week, pardon me. That list of 30 has been cut to 2. But they are very split on which of these two options that they want to see. So that's going to be the debate at SEC meetings next week, is which one of these two options teams want, basically. And it's a seems like a deadlock, says one person familiar with discussions. These two different models are, well, one is one permanent opponent, so one permanent rival, and seven rotating opponents in an 8-game format.
Okay. So the other would be game every year.
Yeah, so you have one permanent rival, and then the other 7 games rotate, because obviously, you know, with 16 schools, divisions don't necessarily make the most sense, or at least division scheduling, just because you'll never play some teams. Like, you can just go on. I mean, you can go, you know, now with 2 more teams, like 8 years apart from, you know, from playing a team in their stadium. And you think that's not what people want.
And you think these 7 would be a home and home too, probably? It's like every 2 years you'd switch, you'd rotate? I don't know if that says that or that in the article or not.
But let's see. So
that's just probably the thought in my mind.
16 teams minus yourself, 15. And then, yeah, subtract your permanent rivals. So there's 14 other teams.
So I'm saying you could see almost everybody.
So I would say, you know, you'd probably play, you know, 7 one year, the other 7 the next year. And then the following year, the original 7, you just flip home and away. And then the following year, you know, you'd flip home and away.
That's what I would like to do.
Play, so, like, say, you know, like Tennessee, say in that first year, it's 7 with the permanent rival. You know, say you play Arkansas at home. And then maybe the next year the next year you wouldn't play Arkansas at all. And then the following year you play it here. Arkansas on the road. So, then maybe you play A&M at home the second year. You don't play them at all the third year. And then the fourth year you go on the road to A&M. So hypothetically then, in 4 years, You well, not hypothetically, everybody. You just...
In 4 years, you would. You'd play everybody.
You would. Yeah, you would play everyone both home and away.
I like that. I want to play everybody.
Yeah, you'd play everyone home and away in a four-year span.
Who would be your one?
So...
Who would you want to be our one?
That's where things get interesting. Is that's why I don't know if this model could work. The cross division... Or not your... I guess not even cross division, but it just would, your permanent rival... I think just having one would create quite the conundrum.
Just
for some of these schools. Because, I mean, with Tennessee.
I mean, we have a rivalry with Florida, Alabama, Georgia.
I would say, in my opinion, Alabama is the most important rivalry to Tennessee.
Okay.
Even though it has not been a competitive one lately, it is the longest standing rivalry. It is the... Third Saturday in October, like that is the premier rivalry for Tennessee. I don't care that it's been non-competitive. Well, I mean, I care that it's been non-competitive.
You think Alabama would choose Auburn, though?
That doesn't make it any less of a historic, incredible rivalry that I think should be continued. But there's no way that they're going to pick Auburn, Tennessee, or Tennessee, Alabama, over Tennessee, Auburn. I mean, over Alabama, Auburn. So like, the Iron Bowl stays.
Yeah, right. So, that's their one.
So. Alabama is out the window for who your permanent rival would be. But that's where you get issues. It's like, okay, so you're going to get Auburn, Alabama, but then like Georgia's biggest rival, if it's not Florida, is Auburn, the oldest rivalry in the South. Yeah. So then, I guess Georgia would then get Florida, but then so then Tennessee doesn't get Alabama or Florida. Would
or
they
Georgia.
Then pivot to Vandy, or would they pivot to... Kentucky, would either of those
it'd probably be Kentucky because I wouldn't choose Vanderbilt because that's just poo.
But then, like for Texas and Oklahoma, you think that maybe they would be rivals, but then A&M in Texas,
that's
like that would also be a rivalry that you want to have.
I think the Oklahoma Texas one would be theirs,
but obviously, like you're going to keep the Red River rivalry.
So my thing would be,
but then like you'd want Texas and Texas A&M. So then, where does Texas A&M pivot to?
Well, my thing is, I think
Arkansas
would Auburn. Would Alabama maybe choose Texas A&M?
No.
The Nick Saban Jimbo, but you don't think?
No, that's not even a question.
Question? You don't think at all? You don't think they'd get rid of the Iron Bowl?
No.
I don't know.
No, the Iron Bowl was legitimately the biggest game in college in the South every single football season.
Okay.
Like probably the most watched game.
You just got to throw it out there.
There is one thing that is guaranteed in the future of the SEC.
It's the Iron Bowl?
It's the Iron Bowl. Will be played every single year.
Okay.
That is the strongest guarantee of the SEC. Ole Miss in Mississippi, an obvious one.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one else that Mississippi State's like, oh, I don't know about this Egg Bowl. Like, we really want to keep this Missouri game.
Who does Missouri play?
Like maybe you get Missouri, Arkansas?
I guess. Like,
but then, like, who's LSU's? Because LSU's would be... Probably Alabama.
Vandy.
I
don't think this model could work.
That's why I just think that there
There's too many teams that have rivalries within each other.
Are we going to keep the Red River rivalry together?
Are we just going to
extend this?
I mean, that was their biggest game in the Big 12.
Are we just going to give A&M South Carolina again? Because that's their permanent rival now. They try to even create a trophy, which is my favorite thing that's ever happened. That's even better than the
what do they have the to beef about?
That's better than the one with UCF and Connecticut that got made up.
The conflict bowl, is it not it?
The conflict trophy that no one knows where it is. No one also knows where the South Carolina A&M trophy is. I forget what it's called.
I didn't know there was a trophy.
Yeah, they tried to make this into a rivalry when those two became each other's permanent cross division rivals.
So
maybe they just keep that. But for Tennessee, I guess maybe it could end up being advantageous because you lose that playing Alabama every year, you lose that automatic loss, and you lose the automatic loss for Georgia. Or at least it's been an automatic loss lately. Yeah. So like if you do have the one permanent rival, seven rotating opponents,
it gets you through all.
Tennessee is not going to play Georgia as their permanent rival, I'd imagine, and you're 100% not going to have Alabama as your permanent rival. And if you don't have Georgia, that means you don't have Florida either, because Georgia and Florida would be kept together. So, I mean, if you're avoiding any of those three teams is your permanent rival, that's a win for Tennessee. Because, right, I mean, the thing that has made this rebuild so much harder is the fact that you are playing Alabama and Georgia every year. You know, you're basically penciled in for two losses the last decade, for the most part, just because of, you know, where your program's at compared to where theirs have been. But, you know, those two losses that you're suffering every year, that no one else has to deal with a schedule like that, you know, those two losses, I guess Auburn also plays Georgia and Alabama every year, so you guys have that in common, but it's made it so much harder again to get back
to where we want to be,
because you just you know you have to deal with that.
What's the second option?
So with that being said, like we just talked, we were talking it out here, and that maybe didn't make a ton of sense for the SEC moving forward, but for Tennessee, I think that could actually end up being a win. I really do.
Oh yeah,
it would leave us open.
Could
be a win. It could be a win in the sense of
not having to lose two games.
Yeah, again, of, you know, getting a lighter schedule and having a higher ceiling. It is a loss in the sense of, you know, I know for me and for other fans,
tradition.
Yeah, preserving some of these games and some of these rivalries, you know, is really important. I would maybe shed a tear if we lost the yearly third Saturday in October.
Yeah.
So it's a win in a strictly business sense, but yeah, I think in some ways it's a loss in when the tradition that you lose and some of the rivalries that you lose.
Those
and
are
I don't
the biggest
think that
weekends
Tennessee
up
fans
here.
Would be alone in that. But at the same time, you know, you'd still get to play Alabama every other year. You'd still get to play some of these other schools every other year. So that would be option one. Model two, or option two, is a 9-game format, where teams play 3 permanent opponents and 6 rotating opponents. So a 9-game conference schedule.
Oh, each year, my gosh. This just...
Each year you're playing, you know, 3 teams.
So that would be Georgia, Alabama, Florida, right?
Maybe.
For us.
Then you got to think... Well, you got to think who it would be for others, though.
Well, Alabama,
because also,
be
like,
Auburn.
I imagine you get Vandy.
I guess. I just don't really care about them. No one cares about them.
I'm good with – I like playing Vandy every year.
Well, yeah, we get to beat the mess out of them. I'm just thinking of aesthetic
So
games.
In that model, like 16 teams minus yourself, 15, minus the 3 permanent rivals, 12. So you'd still – you'd play every team, you know, 6 1 year, 6 the next, 6 1 year, 6 the next. And you'd still go everywhere in the SEC every 4 years with that model. I think this feels like the more likely model, just –
It keeps a lot of the traditions alive.
But I don't think that teams want to play 9 SEC games. Some schools don't. The SEC is already so difficult that, yeah, other conferences have moved towards that model. But for the SEC, it's not necessary. Like, it's not something that this conference needs to do. So those are your two options. Ross Dellinger continues to report, hey, most officials feel strongly that divisions are likely gone. And the pod system that, you know, had floated around as an idea in the fall is also gone. But the conference is, you know, deadlocked, virtually entirely split on what to do next. 8 conference games or 9. And with this issue, the SEC is divided mostly on revenue-generating lines. And again, one person familiar with the discussions, quote, it seems like a deadlock. 16-team SEC, you know, going to be rich, powerful. Really just control the college scape, landscape.
I feel if you start with Auburn in this, you could possibly figure this kind of format out. Because Auburn's going to get Georgia, Alabama, and then the third will be a toss-up. You figure them out first, and you go by team and mark it off. Make sure you get all the tradition. I just think you should get the biggest games in the SEC is a lock. Your most – I mean, that means – and then Alabama would get us and Auburn, and that leaves them with one open slot. Georgia would get us and Auburn. I don't want them 3 every year, though, I guess. That's another
Well,
thing.
Again, like, one of the biggest arguments right now is some schools want eight games because they want that fourth non-conference game because they want, you know, they need it. They need
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You need that fourth non-conference game basically to pick up an extra win that you need just to feel like you can get to bowl eligibility more consistently because the bottom tier of the SEC
needs those out-of-conference games.
They're usually, you know, in an eight-game SEC schedule, they're going like 3-5, 2-6 because the SEC is as good as it is.
Good
so
point.
If you add another, you know, they feel like they could lose bowl eligibility just by having those nine conference games. But, you know, I guess another conference games could be more value for the SEC.
I think
again, we'll see. I think the biggest difference is, you know, in this isn't necessarily the permanent rivals, but more so
but
the eight games versus nine games.
I don't know. I kind of
either way, the model that we have now is gone. And everyone does agree they want to play each other more often. So, I mean, we're going to have one of those two models, basically.
I kind of like the first one, depending on who our lock is. I think that's better for us season to season, record-wise and
difficulty-wise. Reading into this further, I mean, there are some pretty good arguments for the eight-game model. I mean, another thing that I didn't even think about is if you have a nine-game SEC schedule, you're going to have 1 year, four home SEC games, and five road SEC games.
Oh, my God.
And then the next year, you could have five home SEC games, four road SEC games. So, I mean, he says, hey, imagine the teams in year one that have four home SEC games while your competitors have five, they're going to be really pissed. And that's not something you can really deal with in there's no fix there. But the benefits of increasing to nine games, obviously the value of the conference rises. You get more butts in seats in an era of declining attendance, more eyeballs on SEC games, more money, and preserving secondary rivalry games. Because, again, the 1-7 model preserves primary rivalries like Mississippi State, Ole Miss, or Auburn, Alabama, or Texas, Oklahoma. But, again, the 3-6 model protects matchups like we were talking about. Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, Georgia. Maybe it sets up we get Texas and Texas A&M every year.
Yeah.
So, I really don't know where I lean here.
Yeah, we can have a
rivalry. I want to have the three protected rivalries. I don't want to play nine SEC games. I don't want it to be an unbalanced, you know, each year of home and away SEC games. It is pretty tricky.
God, you either, you can't. It's not even a win-win in any of these situations.
One thing they think could rectify it though is if they go to a nine-game conference schedule, dropping the requirement to play one non-conference game a year against a Power Five opponent.
Oh, so that they could just play a bunch of useless games as out-of-conference games and not have to do a Big 12, Big 10 matchup kind of thing.
And then other administrators have kind of said that they would feel more comfortable with moving to nine if the playoff expands to 12. Because I mean,
that makes so much more sense. Because if you're playing nine SEC games, you're expected at least have two losses every year.
I mean, you know, unless you're Alabama or Georgia,
I don't even think you have Georgia anymore.
Year, I mean,
yeah, I guess you'd have to go the year before Georgia.
I mean, you know, unless you're like really one of the top two teams in the country, it's gonna be hard to
get out of that.
It's gonna be hard to stay top four, even if you're the third best team in the country. You know, it still could be pretty difficult to be that third best team in the country, you know, in the college playoff rankings if you're playing nine SEC games. Ross Dellinger was, you know, talking about permanent opponents again and year-ending rivalries. And, He said in several versions of the permanent opponents floating around the league, it appears that the top eight teams would play two of their three permanent games against fellow top eight teams. And then they'd get two tops and one bottom, and the bottom eight would get two bottoms and one from the top half. Now, choosing a team's permanent opponent is going to be very tricky.
I'm telling you, that's the
again. Like, this is the trickiest part. Is the permanent opponents?
This is the singular one.
Yeah. No. Yeah. This is like even for three, like because you could have like Florida all of a sudden having a cross, you know, a permanent opponent in Oklahoma, or you know, like
I think we would get Oklahoma.
The yearly A&M Arkansas game all of a sudden becomes every other year, or you know. LSU Alabama has been the SEC's most watched single matchup over the last decade. Like that could go away. And then the year ending matchups like South Carolina Clemson or Florida Florida State or Georgia Georgia Tech. You know, you have to work around those as well.
Yeah,
and you also need to keep like the Egg Bowl at the end, the Iron Bowl at the end, LSU A&M at the end, Tennessee Vandy at the end. But you could also get new ones like Oklahoma, Missouri or Arkansas, Texas or you know, whatever else.
Arkansas, Texas could be cool.
Running out of time, though. We're running out of time here, but he did try to give actually, we'll come back with this top of hour two, give you a cliffhanger. But Ross Stellinger did give his best shot based on, you know, everything he's talked to and all the information he's gathered on trying to determine, you know, each team's three permanent rivals. So, hour one done, hour two on deck. We'll come back with that on the other side. We'll also get into the SEC Baseball Awards, and we'll talk with our guy, Logan Quinton, all in hour number two. Stay with us here on The Blitz.